Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. I want to read one verse out of the fourth chapter, and then I want to read one verse out of the fifth chapter. And I'm going to speak this morning on the verse out of the fifth chapter, tonight on the verse out of the fourth chapter. So I'm just going to do it backwards, but let me read them in order anyway. I want to speak to you today in both services this morning and tonight on the great battle. And I think you'll see it here in just a moment. In verse 31 of the fourth chapter, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness." Now notice the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In the fifth chapter and the third verse, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Notice Peter asked the question, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie? Going to speak to you this morning and tonight on the great battle. And I want us to pray, and then we'll look at the message. Our Father, thank you so much for grace. And Lord, we're thankful that grace is greater than all of our sin. Lord, when it looked like sin had a death grip upon us, grace reached down and set us free. And Lord, we're thankful, and we pray that you will bless the service now, the message. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of being able to gather together and to open the book. And Lord, I pray that you will bless as we preach from the Word of God this morning. May the Holy Spirit move and work. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear. Help us to realize this great conflict that is raging in our world. Lord, help us to see the players and to understand their heart and their character and their motives. And Lord, I pray that you will just speak to our hearts from what we're about to hear. Lord, help us to side with Jesus. Help us, Lord, to side on the side of right. And Lord, not to give the devil an angle, not to give him an inch, or he'll destroy everything he gets his hands on. So Lord, bless and help me this morning to convey this and to explain this. And Lord, may you use it in our hearts and give us understanding. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The first text that I read for you this morning is a statement of fact that Dr. Luke tells us about this prayer meeting the early church members had when Peter and John were released from jail. We are amazingly told that when they came back, met with the church, that they got on their faces and they prayed and thanked the Lord for the opportunity to serve. And they did not pray to be delivered from persecution, but instead prayed that they would have more opportunity to preach the gospel. And as they prayed, we're told in our text verse in verse 31 that the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The second text out of the fifth chapter in the third verse is a sentence spoken by the Apostle Peter to Ananias, where the insightful apostle asked him, "Why has Satan filled thine heart?" Now, I put these two phrases together this morning and tonight because I want to show you that they give a clear and precise understanding of the great conflict that is seen in the Bible and the great conflict that is seen in our world today. You remember that I have already suggested to you that the events of the early church that are recorded in these early chapters of the book of Acts were written so that you and I might know what genuine, real, New Testament, Bible, Christianity is all about. Everything in these early chapters shows us certain fundamental truths that lay a foundation upon which the New Testament church has been built. In every period of revival, In every period of Reformation that the world has ever known, it was due to the fact that the church returned to doing things like they did them in those early days, showing us that this is the model of true Christianity. This is what the church is all about. This is the way the church should function. Now, my basic proposition this morning, and indeed the basic proposition of the whole Bible, is that the story of the human race is only really understood in the light of the fact that two great enemies, two great forces are operating upon us in this world. There is, of course, the conflict seen in the very beginning of the Bible. The Bible is the record of this mighty conflict from beginning to end. And it is the battle between God and his forces for good and the devil and his forces for evil. And when you look at it in this light, when you look at the Bible in this light and read the Bible in this light, it is amazing the way you can clearly see this conflict. You can see that the Bible shows us this great battle. Over and over and over, you can see it in the Scripture. From the beginning of the conflict all the way through to the ending of it. Now, we have a book in our Bible called the Book of the Revelation. And that book unveils for us what is going to happen in the last days. And when you read that book, it is obvious, it is clear that the battle just continues to rage on. And I'll say a little more about that tonight. But the message that we read of the Bible can be put this way. And I want you to consider with me this morning, I want you to consider with me this thought. Either Satan fills our hearts, or else the Holy Spirit fills our hearts. Now, really, you can boil it down to that. You're either led by the devil, or you're led by God. It's just that simple. And I think that a lot of folks don't understand that. You're either led by the devil, or you're led by the Holy Spirit. This is the battle. This is the conflict. One leads us toward God, the other leads us away from God. But make no mistake about it, this is the conflict that you and I are facing this morning. This is the great battle that is raging. Now, I have told you over and over that the world does not and cannot see that this is the conflict that is raging. Oh, I think most people are aware that something's happening. I think most people are aware that there's something wrong, there's something going on, but they do not understand that it is a battle between Satan and God. Men think that our problems are economic in nature. They think they're educational in nature. They think that our problems today are political in nature. But my friends, they're not. Nothing could be further from the truth. Only the Bible shows us that man's real problems are spiritual in nature, and only the Bible shows us how to fix those problems. Now, here we see in a very dramatic way the whole battle depicted for us. We see the two forces at work. We see their character, and we see their nature described and shown. We see what they do and the results that they invariably produce. There is nothing any more important for any of us this morning than to ask ourselves this question at the outset: is my heart filled with Satan, or is my heart filled with the Holy Ghost? And this is the great battle, the great conflict of the ages, and I think a summation of the great message of the Bible. Now, what we're going to do this morning is take the first one, or the second one, in chapter 5 and verse 3. And I want to speak to you this morning about the devil and his nature and his character. Then tonight I will go back to the first one in chapter 4, verse 31. And we'll talk about the Holy Spirit and his nature and his character and what he purposes for us. But I want you to think, first of all, this morning, of the great influence and power the devil has. I want you to think about how strong the devil really is. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You know, the Bible gives us a great deal of information about the devil, and I want you to know that every time the Bible speaks about Satan, it is never in good terms. The Bible never speaks of the devil in a glowing fashion. I don't think that we can even begin to understand the story of humanity apart from understanding what God tells us about Satan and his evil influence and power. You need to understand, dear friend, that the devil is not God. He was a created being. The devil is an angel created by God. God tells us in his word that the devil was created perfect. He was bright. He was unusually gifted in wisdom and in understanding, and that he was given great authority and power in heaven. You might remember the Bible speaks of a couple other angels. One is Gabriel, and the other is Michael. Michael is the only one in Scripture who is referred to as an archangel, although we believe that Gabriel is also in that category, that Gabriel also was an archangel, although the Bible does not specifically refer to him as an archangel. It does of Michael, but not of Gabriel. And I remembered as I was preparing the message this week, I remembered reading many years ago, and it was so many years ago that I could not find where I read it. I started looking and searching and trying to remember where I had read this, but I couldn't find it anywhere. But I remember reading years ago and it's an argument that makes some sense, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning. It's just something to think about. But some of the theologians have a theory that Lucifer, That was his name before the fall. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, was also an archangel. That you remember our study on Numbers that we did back a few months ago on Wednesday evenings. And I taught you that 3 is the number of completion. And that God is a very systematic God. He does things routinely by on purpose, and that God is 3 yet one. He made man 3 parts yet one being. We are body, soul, and spirit, 3 yet one. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and these 3 are one. And so it would stand to reason, it would make sense for God to have 3 archangels. And the theory is that these archangels were created to carry out the purposes of the members of the Godhead. And they illustrate that by referring to the fact that Gabriel is always doing the work of a messenger in the Bible. That it was Gabriel was sent to Mary to announce that Jesus would be born. Gabriel is always doing the role or playing the role of a messenger. And the theory is that Gabriel was created to aid and to assist the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit is the one who was brooding over God's creation. The Spirit is the one who indwells us at salvation. The Spirit is the one who gives us understanding of the Scriptures. It is the Spirit that inspired the writing of the Word of God. And so as the messenger, so to speak, of the Godhead, that Gabriel was created to assist and to enable the Holy Spirit in the work of messenger. They also say that Michael is the warrior among the archangels, and that Michael is always seen in the Scripture fighting and defending the people of God, the Jews, God's chosen people. And they say that Michael was created to do the bidding of God the Father. So you've got Gabriel, who was created to do the bidding of the Holy Spirit. You've got Michael, who was created to do the bidding of God the Father. And the theory is that Lucifer was also created as an archangel, and that he was created to aid, to assist, to enable the Lord Jesus Christ. But we read in the scripture, now again, this is theory. There, you cannot take the Bible and pull a chapter and verse, a book, a chapter, a verse, and prove this, but it is a theory, but it makes sense. There is some sense to it. But we read of Lucifer that pride filled his heart, and he wanted all the worship that was directed towards the Lord Jesus at God the Son. And that's when pride filled his heart, when he saw the other angels and all that God had created putting its focus and putting its worship upon Jesus. Satan said, Lucifer said, I want that worship for myself. And he said, I will lift myself up, according to what Isaiah 14 tells us. And he tried to usurp the throne of God and tried to sit upon the throne as God. And God the Father said, no, you don't. And that's when he was kicked out of heaven and fell to the earth. And my dear friend, listen, if that's true, it has been the devil's goal ever since the fall, to destroy, to ruin, to injure in any way possible that which was created by the Lord Jesus, so that it cannot and will not bring praise and glory to the Lord. If the Lucifer's idea is, if I can't have that praise and glory, then I'm going to do all I can to make sure that that Jesus does not get it. So his whole ambition is to mar everything God does. His whole desire is to bring ruin to that which God has made. Now, notice, please, in verse 3. Notice, if you will, what your Bible says. Verse 3 says that Peter immediately concentrated on the devil's chief characteristic. Look at it, please. Why has Satan filled thine heart to, what's the next word? Lie. Folks, every time you read about the devil in the Bible, he's lying. Now, every time you read, every time he pops his ugly head up, he's lying. Every time. It never fails in Genesis 3, in the first chapter of Job, in the Gospels, at the temptation, when he came and tempted the Lord. In every instance, he is lying. That is what is in his heart. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie? Folks, this is the devil's dominant characteristic. He always produces a lie. Now, I say that based upon the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Take your Bible and go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And let me read you what the Lord Jesus says about the devil. Look at verse 42 of John, chapter 8, just the next book back in your Bible. Look at verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Now here's what Jesus says about him. Listen carefully. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Man, that's an indictment right there. The Lord Jesus has told us the truth about the devil. Because every time you read where he crops up in the Bible, he is always telling a lie. He lied to Eve and said, oh, ye shall not surely die. Trying to air condition hell right there. You shall not surely die. And he lied to Eve. And he lied to God concerning Job. He lied and twisted the scriptures around when he tempted the Lord Jesus. And so this is our Lord's own description of Satan. And the Bible is always painting the devil in this light. Always. He's a liar. In the book of Hebrews, we read about the deceitfulness of sin. And then in 2 Corinthians 11:3, the Apostle Paul reminded the Corinthians that it was the serpent who beguiled Eve through subtlety. Beguiled. In other words, folks, he's a liar and the father of lies. He is a deceiver. And as Paul said again, a lying spirit who works with all deceivableness in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Deceit is seen in all that he does. He changes his tactics regularly, just whatever it takes to advance his cause. Folks, one of the things that we know that is revealed to us about God is that God is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes, but the devil is always changing. He can turn himself into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. He can quote scripture as he did to Eve, as he did to our Lord, as if he believed the scriptures and meant what he was saying. And there is nothing to which he will not stoop in order to gain his own nefarious ends. He is a liar. He's a liar. From the beginning, and poor old Ananias and Sapphira were the dupes of his lie. They fell for it. I wonder how many of us fall for him. There's a second thing I want us to look. I want you to think with me this morning. I want you to think about some of these lies that the devil has pawned off on our society today. You know, thank God most of us don't believe these. I dare say all of us don't believe these lies. But you know, the devil is a liar. The good thing is that God lays the devil's lies plainly before us. Now let's think of a few of his cleverest tactics. One of his choice weapons, of course, is to persuade people that there is no devil. That seems to be one tactic that he has used. This lie is one of his greatest masterpieces. Let me illustrate what I'm saying. The devil tries to get folks to think that there is no real such thing as the devil. I've told you folks, Larry Stainer and I like to trap fish. We like to go wading around in the mud and the creeks and trap fish. And ever since I was a kid, my dad used to take us trout fishing when we were little guys. And when you trout fish, you have to keep yourself out of sight. If you go trout fishing, you learn real quickly that the trout streams are clear. And so if you're just out there bouncing around, the trout are going to see you. And when they see you, they spook. They flee. They will not bite if they see you. Trout always are facing upstream. And so what you do is you fish upstream. And as you fish upstream, you not only are walking upstream, but you're fishing upstream. And you throw it up in front of them, from behind them, and let the bait come down to where they do not see you. If they see you, they will spook, and they will not bite. And the devil is, let me say it this way, you got to camouflage yourself. All right, you cannot be seen. Folks, that's exactly what the devil has been duping our society. He has put himself as he really is out of sight. He has camouflaged himself. You say, well, how's he done that? Well, he has camouflaged himself as being just some kind of a mythical character. He has camouflaged himself as being this red guy in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and a forked tail. I mean, listen, folks, that's not the devil. But he wants to be like some kind of cartoon character. So he tries to persuade people that there is no devil. He then persuades people that really there is no such thing as evil. All one has to do is just watch the evening news or read the newspaper and you'll see evil all over the world. But yet the devil's trying to convince people that evil is just the the absence of certain qualities in people, and they've tried to blame the absence of those qualities on environment or upon child abuse or upon mental illness or some other excuse. But folks, listen, again, let me remind you that the devil... is real and evil is real. Let me remind you that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and that's my heart, that's your heart, that's everybody's heart. And let me remind you that the devil's lie is there is no devil and there is no such thing as evil. And once he's got society thinking that, you know, it's really not our fault. I mean, it's really not my fault that I sin. It's really not my fault that I acted a certain way. He then persuades people that there is no way a real devil is behind evil. But the Bible tells us a different story, doesn't it? The Bible tells us that evil is headed up by a real devil who organizes these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the devil persuades people with his lies that there is no such thing as the unseen or of the evil or of wicked or of spiritual forces. The devil's forces have been turned into a joke by the evil one, by the wicked one's twist of the truth. And he's persuaded people there's no such thing as a devil, no such thing as evil spirits, no such thing as demons or hobgoblins. That is all just fairy tales. Well, it's not the way the Bible portrays the devil. The Bible portrays him as real and walking about seeking whom he may devour. That means that he's this morning looking around this congregation trying to find somebody's heart that he can devour. And that leads me to his ultimate lie. Not only does he say there's no devil, there's no evil, there's no force called evil, but then the ultimate lie is that there is no God. You know, people think that atheism is something new. Oh, no, dear friend. You ever read Psalm 14? Psalm 14, 2,600 years ago, David made the statement, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Folks, there's always been people that didn't believe God. You say, well, I didn't know that. Sure. The devil has nothing new. His tricks aren't new. Way back 2,600 years ago, even among God's chosen people, there was atheism. And God warned them about it and said that a man is a fool who believes the devil's lie. But then thirdly, notice with me, the great conflict started at the very beginning of the church. At the very beginning, here we are, just a few chapters into the book of Acts. Here we are at the very beginning of the earliest of days of the church. And notice what verse 3 says. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie? This conflict started in the earliest days of the church. Glenn Matthews called me yesterday. He is he was on his way to Charleston, West Virginia. There's a friend of ours, a pastor friend there, Bill Bartlett, a great man, just a wonderful fellow. And 39 years ago, I guess it was now, he went and started the Maranatha Baptist Church in Sissonville, West Virginia, just north of Charleston a little bit. And he is retiring today. Today is his last Sunday as pastor of the church. His son will take over the church, and his grandson will take over the youth department, which is where the son was for years. And he called and we were talking for a little bit, and he was telling me he was going to Bill's retirement last day at his church celebration today. And he said, they've given me 10 minutes. And he said, all I'm going to do is get up and say, thank God, here's a guy who started a church 39 years ago, and he pastored that same church for 39 years, and there was no scandal, and there was never a church split. And I don't think he deserves an honorary doctorate. I think he deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. And that's true, is it not? I mean, you think about it, 39 years and no scandal, no split in 39 years. I mean, give the guy something, for Pete's sake. I mean, it's amazing. You know, the devil just, he's never stopped. I remember in the first church that I ever pastored, I thought, my goodness, could the devil get his foot in here anymore? And then I left that church and went to another, and I thought, oh, my soul, he's got both feet in this one. And then I left that one and went to another, and I thought that he brought a whole army and just planted them all over the building. And then I came here, and I thought, my soul. You got to take a ball bat and beat your way in sometimes because the devil is fighting so hard. But you know, the devil doesn't want people to get saved. The devil doesn't want the Word of God to be preached. The devil doesn't want this choir to get up here and sing. The devil doesn't want people to come to church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and learn this book. He doesn't want that. And this conflict never has started at the beginning and has never let up. Turn over to 1 John for just a minute. Let me close by reading a couple of verses, making just a few comments. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. As soon as the church was born, the wicked one came in with his wicked lies. So much so that at the end of the first century, John had to write this. Look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world. Hey, folks, this was written at the end of the first century. And John said that even now, this spirit of Antichrist is in the world. Even now. You see, the devil's attack has always been directed at the Lord Jesus. Since the beginning of the church, the devil has launched his attack against the church and done all he can to get people to get messed up on the matter of Jesus Christ. And this lie continues on today. Satan wants men to think they can get to heaven apart from Jesus. He wants people to think they can get to heaven by getting baptized, or by joining the church, or by doing good works, or by giving money. Dear friend, listen, the only way any of us are ever going to please God is to meet God on God's terms and believe the truth. And Jesus is that truth. Believing the church means that you're rejecting the lie. We need Christ, folks. We need Jesus. We need to make that the banner. I'm so sick and tired of these folks going around saying that doesn't matter. We're all trying to get to heaven and you're taking your road and you're taking... No, sir. There's one way to get there, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. One way. We're not all going to end up in the same place. If you don't go through Jesus, you don't get there, my friend. That's another one of the devil's lies. He's a cheat. He's a deceiver. He is simply trying to scam you into not believing what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fall for his lie. Don't fall for his lie. And the devil is trying to fill your heart with his lies. Think of it, dear friend. Here's one on this side who loves you and would do anything for you, who proved that by coming to this earth and dying on the cross and giving his life for sin. Here's one that would do anything for you, who genuinely loves you with a never-dying love, an never-ending love, an eternal love, and just genuinely cares for your well-being. And then on the other side is a liar, a murderer, a snake, a weasel, a roaring lion, a ravenous wolf, my soul. Which one are you going to follow? That shouldn't even be a decision. It should be so clear. It should be so clear. We had this little kid in our school out in Illinois, and that kid couldn't tell the truth. He fabricated everything. Everything. And they sent him to my office one day, one of the teachers, he was in about the fifth grade. And they sent him to my office one day. The teacher was just in total frustration, didn't know what to do with him. And she said, "Pastor, try to help him, do something." And I said, "Well, I'll try." And so I sat him down and I started talking with him. And I said, "Son, do you know the difference between the truth and a lie?" And he said, "I think so." And I said, "What is the difference?" He said, "Well, the truth is the truth, and a lie is a lie." I said, "Man, that's profound. Let me get a piece of paper and write that down. The truth is the truth, and a lie is a lie." And I just started laughing. But boy, he was right on, wasn't he? I mean, he was right on the money. And folks, that's exactly what you with this conflict that is raging right now in our world. Now let me ask you, who are you going to believe? Let's just stick with God, huh? Let's just stick with the Word. Let's just stick with the truth. The truth will set you free. Tonight we'll look at the Holy Spirit from the second passage. But dear friend, think about it. Just think about with me this morning. Who is impacting your heart? Is your heart filled with the lie of the devil? Has the devil deceived you? Have you fallen for his lie? Have you listened to the lie? You see, that's what got us in trouble to begin with. Eve listened to the lie. Or is the Holy Spirit filling your heart? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we have a Bible. And Lord, we're thankful for the truth of Thy Word. I pray that You will bless what's been said here this morning. And Lord, I just want to thank You for the truth that is revealed in the Scripture. And Lord, the truth will set You free. Lord, help us not to listen to the devil's lie. Oh, Lord, there are so many that are so easily persuaded by the devil's lie. Lord, help us to seek to know the truth. Lord, we know that by knowing our Savior, by reading our Bibles and knowing the truth of God. And so, Father, I pray that You will bless this to our hearts and give us understanding. And Lord, I pray for folks sitting right here this morning. And Lord, there are many Christians here this morning, and the devil is doing all he can, lying to them, trying to convince them not to accept the truth. The devil's doing all he can to try and get them to put their eyes on people, get their eyes off of Jesus, and put their eyes on people and put their eyes on things. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us not to listen to that lie. Lord, I pray that we'll listen to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, the convicting of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that, Lord, we'll be receptive and responsive to the working of the Holy Spirit instead of the lies of the devil. Lord, I pray that this altar will be filled this morning as folks will stop and evaluate and look at their own lives and look at this in the light of how the devil's coming after them, trying to deceive them. And Lord, may this altar be filled as folks are saying, I'm going to listen to the Lord. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit fill my heart and not walk down that path the devil's trying to get me to go down. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Stir our souls and speak to hearts and give us victories here today. And we'll thank You, Lord, for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.